Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
It might be a new year, but it sure feels similar to most of the years we're used to seeing. Because as we sit right now, there's a very good chance that two major quarterbacks have found their way back into the NFL playoffs right about the time everybody, myself included, was willing to write him off. Not the least of which is one Aaron Rodgers. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Of course, we're hanging out with you on ESPN 2, but it's not Keyshawn, J. Will, or Max. No, you get one more sneak peek to Fitz and Harry as I'm Jason Fitz hanging out with Harry Douglas. Fitz and Harry starts tomorrow.
We're one day away, my man.
We are one day away. Noon to 3 Eastern, by the way, on ESPN Radio every day. Harry looking fly again, by the way. He's got the suit on, the tie on, the little white pop of the collar and the sleeves on the shirt. That means you're doing First Take today, right?
I mean, I do what the Lord tells. Never could have made it.
Oh, my God.
Without you. I do what the Lord tells me to do, y'all.
I'm just going to be honest with you, y'all. On Saturday, we were in Atlanta covering the college football semifinal. Then we were on radio after the college football semifinal to the wee hours of the morning. Yesterday, we took a very early flight to watch games together all day so we could
just
get
tell
ready.
Them we got an hour and 30 minutes of sleep.
We did. We got an hour and 30 minutes of sleep. And we have spent basically the last, 90 hours together nonstop. Yep. If we don't kill each other by tomorrow, this show is going to be a raging success.
Exactly.
Speaking of raging success, obviously you guys can be a part of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Nation on the Dr. Pepper line. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. It ain't college football season without the delicious taste of an ice cold Dr. Pepper. Mm-hmm. The one fans deserve. After Aaron Rodgers got a just massive win over the Vikings, I'm sure he was sipping on an ice cold Dr. Pepper, Harry, because let me be clear, the Packers didn't beat the Vikings. Now, I picked the Vikings to win the game because I thought it would be close, and the Vikings 10-0 in one-score games. It's going to be a one-score game, but it'll be fine. Well, I mean, the logic that, they're still 10-0 in close games because this one wasn't close. Green Bay went out and knocked the you-know-what out of the Vikings from the beginning. They beat them in all three phases of the game, and all of a sudden, we are right back in the situation where on Sunday, the Packers and Lions will be playing for a playoff spot.
Yeah, when you think about it, you look at Aaron Rodgers, and I know a lot of people are going to look at the Green Bay Packers and you attach yourself or your mind with Aaron Rodgers, his great play, back-to-back MVP. He's done it with his arm. He's the leader of this football team. But in 2022, I just don't think that's the case. When you look at the game yesterday versus the Minnesota Vikings, I think that was the best complete team win that they've had in 2022. And you mentioned it, Fitz. They had a special teams touchdown, right? That was actually phenomenal by Keyshawn Nixon, who's been great on returns for them this season and been able to give them great field position. But you also had a defensive touchdown, and that defense showed up in moment after moment. You see the Green Bay Packers got a punt block, but that defense stood its ground and stopped the Minnesota Vikings from scoring a touchdown and held them to a field goal. They also forced, oh my goodness, four turnovers.
Mm.
They forced Kirk Cousins to be Kirk Cousins that we know him to be. In big moments when certain games and certain things are on the line, Kirk Cousins wasn't that guy yesterday. Also, got to give a shout out to Jaire Alexander. He wanted to shadow Justin Jefferson. And granted, sometimes you do have safeties over the top, so I'm not just going to sit up here and say Jaire Alexander had a man-to-man the entire game. You're going to have safeties over Justin Jefferson because I think he has been the best wide receiver in football this season. But he did a hell of a job. He even hit the grit. He hit the gritty.
He did hit the gritty.
After a pass deflection.
I was watching that gritty moment, and I was like, I don't know if I would do that. Turns out I would. I would all day. I mean, look, Justin Jefferson and Harry Douglas had the same number of catches in the first half of that game. The entire game plan from the Vikings felt like a meltdown from the outset. You know, they went out and just constantly stepped on their own feet. And that's not necessarily stunning because I think we've been all been waiting for the Vikings to sort of regress to the mean. It's like every analytics person telling you, hey, they're not as good as the record. And I'm sitting here saying, well, at some point, wins matter. Well, this is an example of why people worry about that because the Vikings weren't even in the same class as the Packers throughout the course of this football game. But it's important to note, to me, it's not just about Aaron Rodgers. Like, we make everything about quarterbacks, but Aaron Rodgers has 4 touchdowns over the last month.
Well, the four-game win streak is not about Aaron Rodgers. It's about the defense of the Green Bay Packers and how they've been able to force turnovers. And I'll bring up the numbers. And the run game against the Chicago Bears, they forced 3 turnovers. On offense, the run game had 32 carries, 175 yards, 3 touchdowns. Versus the Los Angeles Rams, the defense was able to sack the quarterback 5 times. They had an interception, but the run game, 38 carries, 138 yards, 2 touchdowns. Versus the Dolphins, the defense forced 4 turnovers against Tua Tagovailoa, and then Raheem Mostert fumbled the football as well. Now, that's a game where I would say A-Rod versus the Blitz did a hell of a job and made certain throws to help them win that game. But then the last game yesterday against the Minnesota Vikings, the defense once again forced 4 more turnovers, but then offensively, the run game, 33 carries, 163 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So the moral of the story on this 4-game win streak, it isn't your back-to-back MVP winner. It isn't your future Hall of Famer Aaron Rodgers. It isn't that bad man that has been able to get the job done. It's been that defense. It's been that run game, but also a sprinkle of special teams because yesterday that kick return for a touchdown was very much needed.
Yeah, Keyshawn Nixon has been a delight, a surprise for them. And he's Harry Douglas. I'm Jason Fitz. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max presented by Progressive Insurance. Here's what Aaron Rodgers, after the game, had to say about the fact that maybe he saw all of this coming.
I still believe in myself and felt like it just takes one sometimes. Yeah, strange, but when we were sitting at 3-6 and we looked at the next 3, at the time, Tennessee was playing really well. Obviously, Cowboys playing well, and Philly was number one in the league. And I just felt like if we get one of those, we can win the last 5. And 9-8 was going to get in. I didn't really go around saying that because you don't really want to say, hey, if we just get one of these next 3, you know, we can maybe make the playoffs. But in my head, that's what I was thinking. Felt like we were going to beat the Bears. Rams at home, a good matchup for us. Miami was a wild card, I thought. And then the last 2 at home, that would be winnable, even though Minnesota's obviously had a really good season. Just dome teams in the winter and just the way we've played over the years. And December and January, our record's pretty damn good with me starting. So
I love he got that in. Our record's been pretty damn good with me starting. Also, like, I'm constantly told, hey, man, we only take things 1 week at a time. It's a 1-0 this week, and we're on to Cincinnati. We're just worried about this week. Like, that's what everybody tells me. I just learned that Aaron Rodgers did the entire schedule game the same way fans do.
We got to remember, Aaron Rodgers is a guy, he's going to make everything fit his narrative. Uh-huh. Like, and once you put that in your mind, you're not going to be surprised by a lot of things that he says. Now, it's no in hell he's sitting here against the Green Bay Packers against the Chicago Bears or early in the season saying, hey, if we can win this game, if we can do this, we could do that. That's just not how you're molded. That's not what you do. I think when you do that and you look ahead, you're cheating your teammates and you're cheating everyone else around you because you're not focused on the moment at the time, which is the most important in the next game. Now, I just think Aaron Rodgers is going to always make it to fit his narrative and, you know, to make it some way about him. But this 4-game win streak doesn't have a damn thing to do about him. Now, don't get me wrong. The Dolphins game, he made some throws, but the best, I think, offensive weapon on this football team right now, in my eyes, is Aaron Jones. And then you look at the rookie Christian Watson and what he's been able to do. Aaron Rodgers falls in line after that.
Well, this is the important thing for everybody to know. The Packers control their own destiny. If the Packers win on Sunday, they will be in the playoffs. They take on the Lions. If the Lions win, the Lions will then depend on the Seahawks outcome. The Seahawks still part of this conversation.
Now, who does Seahawks have?
I'm looking here. Seattle is taking on, if I can find it on this sheet. Oh, Seattle has the Jets at home. So as you see on the screen.
No, Seattle just played the Jets.
Sorry. Oh, I have the wrong week up. You are correct. They just knocked the snot out of the Jets. Let me see here. Oh, they have the Rams. Oh. Seattle has the Rams at home. So Harry rolls his eyes at me. So the Seahawks, with the Rams win and a Detroit win, would be in. The Lions, if they win and Seattle loses, are in. The Packers are the one of those three teams that controls their own destiny. What you laughing at?
Your fate. You're banking on the Rams.
Oh, yeah. No, I ain't banking on the Rams.
No, I'm talking about the Lions.
I mean, I can't imagine. It'll be interesting, too. We don't know yet. The NFL hasn't told us which game they're going to flex to Sunday night.
Yeah.
Because obviously there's plenty on the line there. So that's a lot about Aaron Rodgers and the playoffs for the Packers, which is a possibility. But Tom Brady and the Bucs in the playoffs is a reality. That is official after yesterday. So how concerned should everybody be? We'll debate it next.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, ESPN 2, ESPN App, Sirius XM, Channel 80. You can watch us, hang out with us. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz, a little sneak peek of Fitz and Harry that starts tomorrow, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern every day. Myself and Harry Douglas, hope you'll hang out with us on ESPN Radio and the ESPN App. You're going to be hanging out with Tom Brady a little longer.
You hope they hang out with us.
Yeah, I was being nice.
But I'm demanding it.
Okay, Harry's demanding it.
Y'all better hang out with me and Fitz from 12 to 3 p.m. every single day, starting tomorrow.
See, that works from Harry.
See, Harry's black people don't live by no hope theory.
Okay, well.
We hope y'all hang with us. No.
No, see, middle-aged white people live on the, like, I don't want to be too pushy here. I don't want to be a Karen. I just want to ask that you'll please consider hanging out with us. One thing we're going to do on the show is do a little exclusive content for our podcast every day. And I only tell that because anyone watching on TV right now, my eyes look like I was crying. It's because I was. Things got a little out of control during the break. All right. Things got out of control on Sunday for Tom Brady and the Bucs. He went off. Tom Brady went out and just absolutely did one of those epic moments that you see from the greats where you come out and say, I'm going to find a way to win this game. And it's funny because we were watching here at Seaport with all the NFL folks. And when Randy Moss was standing there, the Panthers were winning.
They were doing a great job.
And Randy Moss was letting the whole room know that the Panthers were winning, and he called it. Then Moss left. And everything went downhill. He should have come back because obviously Brady was waiting for Moss to leave the room with us before he went off. But my God, what a performance for Tom Brady.
Yeah, and it's crazy because, you know, seeing Tom Brady and playing with Randy Moss, you would never say that Tom Brady was waiting for Randy Moss to leave. But in that particular moment, he probably was waiting for it because as soon as Randy Moss went to go catch his flight back home, that's when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers started to turn things around. And I'll tell you, Fitz, and being able to watch, you know, Tom Brady for a very, very long time closely, I can never count the man out. So many people counted him out because of his age and what he's been able to do, winning a Super Bowl 2 years ago, but just steering this team and keeping them afloat, right? because they haven't played their best football this year. I think they've only played two games versus Seattle in Munich in the first game of the year versus the Dallas Cowboys. Those are the only two games I think that they played great football the entire game. Now, I say that because you have a guy like Tom Brady who in the playoffs who's 35-12, right? He has 10 Super Bowl appearances, seven Super Bowl wins. All you want to do is get into the dance. Why, Fitz? Because you have a chance. I say it one more time, y'all. Y'all ain't know I was going to come on here and rhyme today. All you need to do, Fitz, is get into the dance because you have a chance. The chance to do what? Chance to make a run. I believe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because they're probably going to be matched up, I think they're going to be matched up with the Dallas Cowboys, right? That's a team that they've beaten already this season, game one. Granted, this is not the same Dallas Cowboys team. This is not the same Tampa Bay Buccaneers team as week one. They also played them last year, a year ago. I like the chances that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have because of a guy named Tom Brady. Now, the offensive line is going to be a question. Can those guys be able to hold up? Can the defense, who gave up 341 passing yards to Sam Darnold, can they hold up? I'm banking on those guys being able to flip a switch and be great for one outing. And that one outing is going to be against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, and that matchup is set because right now there's no chance that the Buccaneers can move up to the 3 seed. They will be the 4th seed, and there's no chance that anybody can catch Dallas for the 5th seed. So the first round matchup will be the Cowboys at the Buccaneers. Look, I think you're right. Obviously, the Buccaneers have a big win over Dallas week one. This season did not go the way that the Buccaneers wanted it to go.
Not at all.
And what's amazing is, as we were sitting there talking during the break, you mentioned a lot of people are out on Tom Brady. But when you look at the numbers, Tom Brady has actually had a very good year, right, for an 8-8 football team. And that's the part of it. Like, it's hard to figure out, yeah, their offensive line has had issues, their defense has had issues. This was a game where Brady went off, and it came down to the wire against what I think is a bad Panthers team. So there is a disconnect between having good players and being a good football team compared to the standard that we thought Tampa Bay was going to be held to. They are currently 8-8 as they finish their season. The presumption is that they'll finish, I'm guessing, with the winning record. They'll finish 9-8, even if they finish 8-9, doesn't matter. But they play the Falcons next week. So in theory, they finish 9-8. Statistically, they look like they should be much better than a 9-8 team when you look at Brady's numbers. But the fact is, that hasn't equaled wins. And so for me, no matter how good Brady is, and no matter how good Brady has been, the Bucs just haven't looked like a good football team. So I have a hard time being scared of Tampa Bay in the playoffs because simply the football team hasn't looked good enough.
Well, I'll tell you, the reason why you're scared of them, if you're any opponent, is because they do have the history. Right, you still have a lot of carryover from this roster when they did win the Super Bowl 2 years ago. And granted, every year is different, and I don't want to keep banking on what they did 2 years ago because they are not that football team. But if you're going into the playoffs and you're the Dallas Cowboys and you're like, okay, we got Tom Brady. We got the greatest of all time, a guy that we know at any given moment can turn a switch and just make things work. And I think Tom Brady did a great job in this game of getting the football to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, his two most valuable weapons. Mike Evans, since coming into the National Football League 9 years ago, has 1,000 yards in every single year. A lot of people take that for granted. I don't think people understand how hard that is to do. Every season in the National Football League, you equips over 1,000 yards. That's phenomenal. Chris Godwin had a big game as well, even though he had a fumble. He had 9 targets, 9 catches. His fumble kind of hurt a little bit, but I don't think the Carolina Panthers actually scored off of the fumble. But you don't want to fumble and give your opponent any opportunity, because if that's a playoff game, that's an opportunity that the opposing team can use against you, right, can score points off of that turnover. I just look at them in the run game. The run game is another reason why I think Brady, the numbers from Brady, because the run game has been non-existent. The offensive line hasn't been able to get the push, and they're so dependent, I think, on the quick game, on getting the ball into the receiver's hands and big body guys to allow them to make plays. But Brady being in the playoffs, I think it's a good thing for the National Football League because there's always that suspense. It's the same thing as Aaron Rodgers, right? When you have two guys that are going to be Hall of Famers and they make the playoffs. Now, Rodgers hasn't made it yet. Brady's in it. But let's just say, hypothetically, Aaron Rodgers makes it. That's going to make some people nervous because of the names of those guys and what they've been able to do while they've been in the National Football League.
Brady, 34 of 45 for 432 yards, 3 touchdowns, and by God, a rushing touchdown. Like, you know things are getting weird when all of a sudden.
How much did Brady throw for again?
432 yards.
What? And you're going to tell me people are not going to be scared of Tom Brady because he's in the playoffs?
I'm telling you people aren't scared of the Bucks. I ain't saying people aren't scared of Tom Brady. You're always scared of Tom Brady. He threw for 432 yards, and it took every ounce of that to beat the Panthers 30-24. This is not a breaking hot take. The Cowboys are better than the Panthers.
But the Panthers have been good.
But the Cowboys are better.
You know, Steve Wilks has taken over that football team.
I mean, good or – I mean,
they've been decent. They've been in a position to where if they would have won that game yesterday, they would have made the playoffs.
I mean, correct. I get that. But, like, I mean, the Cowboys
are – granted, Sam Darnold had three turnovers in that game, an interception and two fumbles. But Sam Darnold was throwing some darts out there, man. He was fitting some throws and some windows and throwing some balls on ropes that I was like, man, Sam Darnold must be upset. He got benched for Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I know.
And PJ Walker.
There are some brands we're scared of, Tom Brady. There are some brands we're not scared of. Sam Darnold. I'm just saying. So we'll see if the Bucs can put it together. In the meantime, a big day for the Bucs. It was a big day for Philly for the wrong reasons. The Eagles lose again. So how much panic is setting in for Philly now that the Eagles have lost two straight? We'll break it down next. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, Jason Fitz, Harry Douglas in for the guys on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Throws a quick one, and that's picked off by Marshawn Lattimore.
Played a really bad game today offensively.
Right now for them, that secondary and that defense, which we thought was a championship-level defense, doesn't look to be.
Definitely the most ticked off that I've seen in the locker room this year.
It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, ESPN 2, ESPN everywhere, Sirius XM Channel 80, just all the ESPNs. He's Harry Douglas. I'm Jason Fitz. I want to correct myself, Harry. I'm always the first to stand up and be like, whoops, my bad. The matchup between the Cowboys and Bucks is not set, right? The Bucks are locked in where they are. But the Cowboys would be in this seat as the top wild card unless, dun, 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 they win and the Eagles lose, because the fall of the Eagles now has them in a situation where on Sunday they're playing for either the top seed in all of the NFC or the top wild card. The Cowboys are still in this thing because wow. Two straight losses for Philly. So thanks for everybody on Twitter, sincerely and genuinely, for pointing it out. That is my bad. I was wrong. Things have melted down for the Eagles with two straight losses. Now, on the one hand, you could say, we got the mustache man, not Jalen Hurts as our quarterback. Of course we've lost two straight games. What should the level of panic be in your mind for Philly?
I think it should be a little panic because of the simple fact that Jalen Hurts isn't your quarterback right now. I don't know where he is injury-wise. I don't know if he's going to play in the last game. I'm assuming he's going to play in the last game with so much on the line. But we got to remember, it also is his throwing shoulder, and we do know how valuable he is when it comes to the quarterback run game. And Shane Steichen, their offensive coordinator, has done a great job, a phenomenal job this season, drawing up things and designing things for Jalen Hurts in the run game. Now, since he's been out, that's one of the things that's been missing. You look at the Dallas Cowboys game, I didn't think the Philadelphia Eagles rushed the football effectively. They had 29 carries for 87 yards and one touchdown. But you actually seen the, I don't want to say non-athleticism from Gardner Minshew, but you didn't see the athleticism that you normally see from Jalen Hurts that can extend plays, that can, you know, help you get those wild plays to get your team in a position to win football games. Also, against the New Orleans Saints, the Eagles rushed the football 15 times for 67 yards. So the run game for the Philadelphia Eagles, whether it's Jalen Hurts running the football or the running backs carrying the football, has really taken a hit since he hasn't been back there. You look at Gardner Minshew yesterday in the first half. He was 6 for 10 in the first half alone for 70 yards, right? Zero touchdowns, zero interceptions. Guess how many run yards they had in the first half? 9 yesterday. Ooh. You look at Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown in the first half yesterday as well. Devontae Smith had 1 reception for 25 yards. A.J. Brown had 2 for 15, and Dallas Goedert had 1 for 12 yards. Third downs in the first half as well. They were 1 for 5. They had 0 red zone attempts, and they were sacked 5 times. So not only is the quarterback position taking a hit or the run game taking a hit, also I don't think this offensive line has been as polished as they need to be, especially yesterday. They gave up 6 sacks yesterday. And we mentioned Lane Johnson has been out. And the question lies, can these injuries for the Philadelphia Eagles come into play and haunt them down the end of the stretch of the season? And it is a possibility because you look at Jalen Hurts, so you don't know how the shoulder's going to be moving forward. You look at Lane Johnson. I've had groin surgery 2 separate times. And I played the season and had the surgery after the season, but it's a pain in the behind, man, trying to play through those groin injuries because you're so limited in so many different ways. And it got to the point to where I couldn't even hardly even practice throughout the week. I was just playing games. Now you look at yesterday, Josh Sweat, a guy who has 11 sacks, he goes out of the game with the neck injury. Avante Maddox, a guy who plays their nickel position, and I think that's where teams are going to start attacking them defensively, is that nickel spot. He's out with a toe injury. But then you think about C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who brought just something different, a safety that can cover slot guys, that can cover tight ends, but can intercept the ball and take the football away. So those are huge losses right now at the moment. Can they get better? Probably so. And Jalen Hurts not being there, though, I think it speaks volume when you talk about the MVP race. A lot of people were saying, and we even heard Michael Parsons say, well, you know, he has so many guys around them. Well, when Jalen Hurts hasn't played, this team looks very much different.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily look very much different because Gardner Minshew is an incapable backup. Like, they've gotten pretty good play from Gardner at times, but to your point, there's still a drop-off, and there should be. I mean, Jalen Hurts has been that sort of an MVP candidate. There was one play yesterday, 4th and 1, where they were trying the Philly 4th and 1 thing that they've done. First time this year in 26 times on 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1 that Philly was shut down on that play. And the craziest part about it is you watch the linebacker find Gardner, grab his shoulder pads and just push him, almost like he was just like heavy lifting, right? Pushed him backwards. But that was the moment where I was like, "You're not doing that to Jalen Hurts right there." Like it was just there was such a difference to their ability to command the line of scrimmage and to the way that the run game is being respected is changing everything in their offense. So, you know, is there panic? Like I'm not one personally that cares as much, and y'all played the game, so you know better than I. But like a 30-day layoff, like we're not talking, like if it's been 34 days since Jalen Hurts steps on the field, I'm not panicking about that. If suddenly I go from having home field advantage throughout the entire course of the playoffs to having to go to Tampa Bay, now I'm worried about that because it's an extra game. Like, you're just putting yourself at risk in extra time. And you're right. When you start talking about the losses, it stacks up. Tim McManus, ESPN NFL Nation Eagles reporter, said this about the mood in the locker room on primetime last night.
Definitely the most ticked off that I've seen in the locker room this year. You know, there haven't been a whole lot of losses, as we know, but most of them have not taken in stride. I mean, the Dallas one, I won't say that, but they know how good they are. They've held a good perspective about where they sort of stand. But this one, you could sense really for the first time, at least to me, you know, they were fuming a bit.
Well, and you've been in locker rooms where teams are being decimated with injuries, like. there's a combination of, like, you know the moment you're in, if you're in that locker room. You know the importance of trying to win. You know that you got to be healthy to do it, and you're watching things outside of your control. Like, athletes love to control the controllables, right?
Yeah.
When things outside of your control start impacting the way your season is going, I cannot imagine that that doesn't become a frustration.
Well, of course it does, but you got to look at this, though. You got to look at who's hurt. The leader of this offense, the leader of this team in Jalen Hurts, he's injured right now, right? And it's just different when he's at the quarterback position, because I'm going to use the Indianapolis Colts game that the Eagles played. The offensive coordinator, Shane Steichen, realized that that was a rough day for them from an offensive standpoint. But when you have Jalen Hurts as your quarterback, you can say, you know what? I'm going to call plays and design things for Jalen Hurts to put this team on his back, to carry us and get us over the hump. When he's not out there, you can't do that. Also, when you have another leader on your team in Lane Johnson, who's been phenomenal throughout his entire career and blocking for quarterbacks in the run game and then for running backs in the pass game and running backs for the run game, he's not out there. That carries weight. So now other guys have to try to pick up that slack. And then also I'm looking at the game yesterday and I'm watching how, you know, the corners, Marshawn Lattimore and those guys are sitting on certain routes. And I study the Eagles offense and I know that based on certain formations, some of the things that they're going to run, when, you know, Marshawn Lattimore jumped the route early on in the game, then you come late and you throw another quick game and he jumps that and takes it for a pick six, why not double move him? So now as an offensive coordinator, if we're lacking certain things from the quarterback position, in which they did against the Dallas Cowboys, because, you know, Trayvon Diggs is a guy that's going to jump routes, but they ran a double move with A.J. Brown and Gardner Minshew hit him on that ball and it should have been a touchdown, but it got it down and got him a field goal, right? You still have to do that. Even though you're playing the New Orleans Saints, it doesn't change because you're playing the Saints. If you're watching the game from up top and above from the box and you're seeing certain things on film, you're seeing corner squat. But at the same time, Gardner Minshew has to make the throws when the throws are there. That corner route, that when they get in two-by-two set, right? When you get two receivers to one side and a tight end and a receiver to one side, they love to run five-yard unders on the outside with the corner routes. That's one of their staple plays. Or they like to run, you know, 12 to 14-yard stop routes on the outside and seam routes by the inside guys. That's one of their staple plays. The quarterback has to make those throws, though, when the opportunity arises.
You're talking about the limitations, and I think one thing that really stood out yesterday, just watching the game, again, with you and Rex, who's going to join us in a little bit, and all the different NFL people, just looking at the way the RPO system in general, knowing when he's going to pull the ball and when to not pull the ball,
yep.
You could see that New Orleans wasn't respecting that Gardner Minshew would pull the ball. And if they're not respecting it, then all of a sudden that whole option of some sort of RPO, some sort of play action, it all fell dead in the water in this thing. And so it just speaks to the offense doesn't click without Jalen Hurts. And you know,
RPO and a zone read
100%
in the run game as well, because the announcers of the game yesterday, they pointed it out. They showed it on replay as times that Gardner Minshew probably should have pulled the football and ran. But he's not even thinking about that, because we don't think about Gardner Minshew as being a zone read type of quarterback. That's why I think it's also valuable to have, you know, your backup quarterbacks kind of similar to your starters, just in case, you know, you get in a situation where your starter goes down, but now you still have the same kind of mindset from a quarterback perspective.
We want you guys to chime in on the show. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We had a raging debate. We're going to get to it later in the show. It took over the entire process of getting ready for the show today. Is your team Super Bowl or bust this year? Is Philly Super Bowl or bust? We want you guys to chime in. Is it all or nothing for your favorite team? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're going to get your thoughts, obviously, on whether or not it's Super Bowl or bust. Is Philly Super Bowl or bust to you, Harry Douglas? Are you Super Bowl or bust? Give everybody a little tease on what you think on this one.
I tell him when I get back.
Oh, look at that. He's going to tell. All right, this is
trying to pry my answer out of me.
All right, fine. I'm just trying to, you know, I'm just trying to sneak it for him. All right. We're going to peek behind the curtain here. Nuno, what'd you just
say? Oh, never mind. This is the long one. We're not going to commercial.
See, we're hot route. This is live radio. It's ESPN Radio, by the way. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz. We're filling in for the guys. Fitz and Harry starts tomorrow. I'm filibustering here. Noon to 3 Eastern is starts tomorrow on ESPN Radio. You can hang out with Harry Douglas and myself.
There's the commercial break right there.
Yeah, there we go. That was the commercial break.
There
it's interesting because Philly, like I said, they win top seed. They lose and the Cowboys win.
Yep.
They can end up as the top wild card. And it started this conversation as we were trying to figure out what is Super Bowl or bust.
A heated conversation.
We got heated.
We got heated. Me, you, Yates, Pat Costello.
Yeah.
You know, our producers.
Everybody
was trying to. It got heated.
But I think the one of the interesting things about Super Bowl or bust is it really comes down to expectations. Like, and I'm not even talking Super Bowl for a second. Like yesterday, Harry and I watching the Raiders play together. Harry was laughing at me. But the Raiders lose a football game. And I didn't expect them to have any sort of a shot in that game. So the fact that they were in that game, I was like, this is fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which reminded me of how I felt last year. I didn't think the Raiders were going to be a playoff team last year. They were. So I was like, this is fun. When the Raiders lost to Cincinnati, I was like, yeah, that sucks. But it was just awesome to get to watch a playoff game. Like, there wasn't some Super Bowl or bust expectation. A lot of these teams, like if the Lions make the playoffs this year, it's not Super Bowl or bust. But there are a handful of teams that I think are under that level of pressure. A team like the Bills, who were sitting here saying every year we're right on the cusp of. But a team like the Chiefs that are constantly saying, hey, we got Mahomes. We should be in Super Bowl bust category. The way we talk about Aaron Rodgers and the way we talk about Tampa Bay is always, you know, Tom Brady.
Don't just say, you say his name.
Tom Brady.
You say his damn name. Come on, the way Tom we talk Dan about Brady. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The way we talk about Tom Brady.
All right, so where are you on the Eagles?
Tom Edward Brady. Thomas is at that.
Now, are you
for
done
the Eagles.
Him?
I'll say this about the Eagles. I will say this. Now, before we had our discussion, I'm not going to sit up here and say that I know everything. And I also listen to people around me. You know, that's what I think makes me a good human being, makes me a good citizen out here.
It's a bit of a stretch.
And I was like, no, it has to be Super Bowl or bust. But then I went to think about it and appreciate that Alan Yates was able to tell me, hey, that wasn't the mindset coming into the season from a fan perspective, right? But a thing that I was explaining to Yates as well, as the season goes on, expectations do change. And I think from the sense of an expectation standpoint, I do believe at this juncture right now in the season, a lot of people expect the Philadelphia Eagles to go to the Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl. And especially you look at how their roster is configured as well. Now, from a front office standpoint, which is a total different outlook on things, I think the front office and the moves they've made during the season tell them that it's Super Bowl or bust. And if you look at how players think in a locker room, they think, okay, the Philadelphia Eagles, we got to go to the Super Bowl or this season is a bust. But necessarily the fan base might not think that way.
Yeah, I think that's one thing for this show. Like, you're coming from the mindset of somebody that was in the locker room playing.
Yes.
And when you're in the mindset, you know as well as anybody that the NFL is business. So next year, you may not even be there. So you don't give a damn about the long line.
And I've been there.
Right.
Because I've been on the Atlanta Falcons in 2012 when we went 13-3. And, you know, we lost in the NFC Championship game to the San Francisco 49ers and had the number one seed. And we're saying, okay, you know what, guys, we're going to be here next year. And Tony Gonzalez coming back for another year thinking the same exact thing. But no, it wasn't that in 2013. We didn't even make the playoffs in 13. We didn't make the playoffs in 14. So it's not a guarantee that you're just going to make the playoffs or you're going to be in this prime position the following year. So when players look at it sometimes from their outlook or front office people, they say, listen, the moment is now. We got to live in the moment because you don't know what can happen next year. Injuries could be a play a factor. Your team is going to change. Everyone that's on the roster right now at the moment might not be there next year. So a lot of different things can happen.
I'm going to say something unpopular here. By the way, Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz. When the Raiders went on their run in the early 2000s and they were great, when they lost the Super Bowl, I actually looked at one of my buddies and I said, man, I'd rather not even make the playoffs than have this constant heartbreak of losing weird games in the AFC Championship game and losing the Super Bowl. I said all that stuff. I was like, I'd rather not even make the playoffs. Then I go through double-digit losses for 10 consecutive years. I'm like, screw all that logic. Like, the only problem, and this is just my word to the fans. Like, if you are a Philly fan and you refuse to enjoy this season because you are Super Bowl or bust, and this season's going to be a fail. A fail of a season is what half the league is dealing with right now when you win four games. The Falcons are having a fail of the season. The Raiders are having a fail of the season.
Well, don't go talk about my Falcons. Well, talk about your damn Raiders. You leave the Falcons.
The Texans are having a fail of the season.
You're going to bring my Falcons into this.
I'm just saying.
And you sitting over there with Devontae Adams and Hunter Renfrow and Darren Waller and
Derek
Carr.
Why are you trying to hurt me?
And Max Crosby and all those. And Chandler Jones. You won't talk about my Falcons. No, you stay over there with your Raiders.
I'm just saying. Why are you trying to talk about
bringing my damn team?
I'm saying, what's the point of watching every week if the only game that you're ever going to let make you happy is the Super Bowl? I know people will say that's a loser's mentality. I'll say that my entire week, every week, changes based on the way the Raiders. I'm a grown ass man. It shouldn't. It does. I can't help it. When the Raiders win, I'm happy. When the Raiders lose, I'm in a bad mood the next day.
Well, you shouldn't have cursed them. The football guys. Didn't like
I cursed
them.
Oh my God. Wayne in Philly is hanging out with us on the Dr. Pepper call in line. Wayne, what you got, man? Is it super? You're an Eagles fan, obviously. Philly, Super Bowl or bust?
It's always Super Bowl or bust, Harry. Fitz, when expectations change in the middle of the season. In the beginning of the season, I'm not going to lie, I had the Eagles going 10-7, 10-6. Won the division against Giants in the last game of the season. That's how I've seen it play out. But expectations do change during the season. And another thing, Fitz, Jalen Hurts is the MVP of the league off this alone. He literally changed the RPO game. If you look back in that Dallas game, I counted at least 7 different times where that outside linebacker on the left side jumped to the running back, and Jalen Hurts, knowing Jalen Hurts was in the game, he would have took that ball and ran it up for like 20 yards. We missed Jalen Hurts in that RPO game, and we need him back desperately. So, yes, it is Super Bowl or bust.
Thanks for the call, man. And by the way, I don't disagree on the MVP comment. I think that's been made clear.
But he's a Philly fan.
He's a Philly fan, and he's saying that we've gone next. Harry's got
I'm rolling my eyes at Yates and Pat. That's what I'm doing right now.
This is
what
happens. The nuance of his answer.
I mean, but here's the thing. Look, if you put the camera on Harry Douglas, if you're watching us on TV, my guy HD gets this little grin. He gets this grin like a kid in school. That's like, I told you. I told y'all. The minute, he's like, I got this. Robbie in Missouri, is it Super Bowl or bust? Thanks for calling Keyshawn J. Willimax. What you got?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. No, it is not. It's not a Super Bowl or bust for Philly. I feel like after winning the Super Bowl that we got to a point to where we thought we were going to be perennial playoff team, and felt like we've done that. But if we don't win it this year, you got a young core. You've got Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown and Goddard and, Hurts. And I think we got a good left side of the line. So, no, I don't think it's Super Bowl or bust. I think we've got an opportunity here to make progress. But if we don't win the Super Bowl, it's not the end of the world in my eyes.
Yeah, don't miss your turn. GPS telling you to turn there, buddy. We don't want you to miss it. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you hanging.
But did you see some of the things that he's hanging his hat on? He talked about the young core that they do have, and he's not wrong about that. Mm-hmm. But in so many words, what he's saying that it's not a Super Bowl bust because we're going to probably be here next year. We're going to probably be here the year after that. That might not always be the case.
Yeah, but and you're right. But, man, if the Eagles win on Sunday against the Giants – they will have finished this year 14-3 with the number one seed. The only thing that sucks.
Remarkable year.
The only thing that sucks about the mindset of the phrase Super Bowl or bust is that there's going to be some fan that's like throwing things at their TV trying to be a viral sensation when, the Eagles lose in the playoffs if that happens in this situation. And then they're like, this whole season's like, if you can't enjoy 14-3, then why are you even watch it?
Well, here's my thing. Like, when I look at, and I follow all sports, Fitz.
Of course.
And I love me some baseball. When you look at the Phillies, who a lot of people thought shouldn't have even been in the position that they were in the World Series, but they lost to the Astros, right? But they got there. You look at the Philadelphia 76ers and how they've been a disappointment playoff-wise the last few years. Yes, a couple years back they lost to my Atlanta Hawks, the same Atlanta Hawks that, a lot of people like to bash. But, hey, some to none. Also that same year, the Hawks beat the Knicks. But that's a story for another day.
And
you look at that
heartbreak.
But you look at that heartbreak and, the pairing of James Harden and Joel Embiid and what they haven't been able to do come playoff time, right? But then you got the Philadelphia Eagles sitting in this prime time spot. Now, I will say, before the season, and I give it to Yates and I give it to Pat, it wasn't Super Bowl or bust. And I still don't think now it's Super Bowl or bust. But the expectations have changed within the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, you look at their roster and how it's constructed and how they're built, and if you were to tell me right now that people think anything less than a Super Bowl win, then I'll tell you you're crazy.
You're right, but I think the Bengals are the exact example of what you're talking about. Like last year, the Bengals weren't Super Bowl or bust. This year, there are some pretty high expectations with them. So maybe it's changed. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. A bunch of you guys on hold, not surprisingly. A lot of takes on the Cowboys on this. We will continue to take your Super Bowl or bust thoughts for your favorite team in order to figure out how the fans feel about it. We're always the voice of the people on this show. In the meantime, we'll ask a former NFL coach if the Eagles need to make the Super Bowl for this season to be a success next. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz, in for the guys.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.